Feast of Fun is made possible because of generous support of fierce, fabulous people like you. Here's a taste of today's show, Wigstock Reborn with Misunderstood. Listen to the entire show for free on our website, feastoffun.com/plus. If you're already a Plus subscriber, thank you for your support.
Hello.
You sound fabulous.
Hello, darling.
This is Fat Sofranos. Hi.
Misunderstood. If you thought that you were long gone, you were wrong. She is back. She is vicious, and she's taking names and taking tips.
I'm back. I'm whack, and I'm high on crack.
9 years, huh?
It was a while. Time goes fast when you're busy.
No, you have to say, time goes fast when you're beautiful.
Mm. Well, that too.
I can imagine that the experience of putting yourself back together after putting yourself in storage for almost a decade must have been a very surreal experience for you.
Well, you know what's funny is I have drag, meaning I have lovely dresses, costumes that were custom made, but everything else slowly dissipated. And usually your makeup, you know, you buy a little new thing here and there along the way, but when you have to buy everything from scratch, oh my God, it was a huge shopping trip because I'm really particular about everything.
Kim Chi said if you really wanted to start off drag and be fabulous for that one look, you basically have to spend about $600.
Yeah, I spent a little more than that. And again, I had the dress, but I didn't I have a whole system. It's like you do the corset and you layer over with a girdle and you pat it like this and you do, you know, and I just like, I don't have that anymore. You know, I kept it all for a while, but by the time 9 years hit, it was finally all gone. And I thought, oh.
Well, would it even fit anymore? Because, I mean, you've been hitting the gym.
Actually, well, I had gained the weight and then lost the weight. So I'm back down to my drag size. So, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So just a skinny little thing.
Well, not quite that, but, you know.
So what made you decide to take your stuff out of mothballs? And did your stuff smell like mothballs?
The 2 weeks notice given for Wigstock. Like, it was just a sudden Wigstock.
So explain this to the listeners, because some people might be familiar with what even Wigstock is. So long before there was RuPaul's Drag Race, DragCon, there was Wigstock, and it started out as an impromptu gathering of drag queens coming home from the bars drunken and performing for them each other in the middle of a park.
Okay, this was before my time, a little, the very beginning. Yeah. But if I understand correctly, their drunken night was in 85, so the first actual promoted Wigstock was in 86. I think I started going in 88, and it ended in, if I'm correct, 2001. Or 2001 or two. I forget.
And what was the experience like, you know, in a world that wasn't ready for drag in 88, for you to dress up in drag and perform at this very sort of hippie drag queen gathering in New York City?
I think in the late 80s and early 90s, when you were in your little alternative world in the East Village, which was a little more of a fun, trashy neighborhood back then, you felt a little more like you were on your own planet, because we weren't interconnected the way we are now with the internet. People in other cities weren't up on what we were doing. People in our own city weren't up on what we were doing if they weren't in our scene. You had to get up and go to things to experience them, and you wouldn't read that much about it later except for a blurb that might be in some alternative press. So you really had to be there, and you felt more present and less distracted when you were there. Does that make any sense?
Sure, there was no cell phones to take your distraction. Maybe some people were taking photos, but, you know, how many people were carrying around a camera at the time, you know?
And yeah, and it, like, it felt so different. Like, now what happens in alternative culture is discussed internationally immediately. You know, like, for example, sometimes people will be outraged. It's like it happens with comedians sometimes, something they said in a comedy club, and then everyone's outraged and talking about it the next day in the media. Something that happened in a club wouldn't make the media before. It was in its own little scene, in its own little world. If you were in that little scene, you'd know about it. And in some ways, it gave you more freedom because you weren't quite as scrutinized, you know, like you. You didn't get the opinion of somebody who doesn't even go to nightclubs, who lives in middle America, mm-hmm. about what you said in a New York nightclub. You know, right. It did happen one time, and I remember it was so rare. Like in the early 90s, it was very common for nightclub acts to, you know, go for shock value. There was a lot of mocking of religion. And one time, some kind of TV station was at a club for some reason, and some one, you know, once a week party did something sacrilegious. I don't remember what it was. And it made the news the next day, and the club ended up shutting the party down. And I thought, this goes on in parties all the time. There's people naked pulling things out of their twats and, you know, pulling rosary beads out of their asshole. It's uh-huh. so common, but this one time it made the news. Now in 2018, of course it would. I mean, mm-hmm. it would be all it'd go viral. Everything goes viral. It's very different. I'm not really complaining, you know.
Well, you have to be at one of those places where people are just like, okay, everybody, you have to put your phone away because some shit's about to get real.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that things were better then and things are worse now. Yeah, I'm just different. Emphasizing that they're very different, very, mm-hmm. very different. I think in some ways the communication we have with each other is kind of amazing. Like, I'm very aware of performers in Queens and other cities. I think in that era, maybe I would meet a queen from L.A. and maybe I would read a blurb about her in a magazine one day about something she was up to. And that was it. I wouldn't know what she was up to a month later. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, I'd wonder whatever happened to her. You know, now you could just go to their Facebook and see what they're doing. It's really a radical change in how we communicate.
Were there other drag queens that came out of retirement for Wigstock 2018?
Who came out of retirement? I mean, people came out of the woodwork. I don't know if they were out of retirement, but they came to New York. Like Varla Jean Merman, I haven't seen her close up and spoken to her since we taped Project Runway about 10 years ago.
Oh, the infamous one with RuPaul on, right?
Yes, yes. Varla and I were. Huh?
Where lighting doesn't affect a bitch's ability to pick up a goddamn brush and run it through a rat's nest of a weave looking like Beyonce on a budget.
Did I already tell you like what happened backstage with the RuPaul thing that day?
No, tell us.
So you're talking about Project Runway when RuPaul was a judge.
Yes. So we were all the models and RuPaul was a judge. And so at one point we're in a holding room watching a monitor. Well, because it's all filmed much slower. It doesn't really happen in real time.
Yeah.
It's all put together like a puzzle. So they're slowly doing some whatever with RuPaul. And we're looking at the monitor and we're all talking going, oh my God, she looks terrible. Is she sick? What's wrong with her? Why does her hair look like that? I don't know. Blah, blah, blah. And then later someone said, you know, her manager was standing right next to you the whole time you had that conversation.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Wow. It wasn't there a drag queen on the show with you named Sharon Needles that wasn't?
There was a different Sharon Needles. She was a New York queen. Uh-huh. And actually, she was the second one. There was an early 90s L.A. Sharon Needles, mm-hmm. but she's one of those people like I heard existed but couldn't follow up on because that was the early 90s. So I know very little about her. I remember being aware there was a Sharon Needles in L.A., mm-hmm. and then many years later we had one.
I do believe that Sharon Needles from L.A. is on YouTube somewhere and was part of a band, if I remember correctly. So,
okay.
Yeah, if I think so. But, you know, like Sharon Needles says, what does she say about the name Sharon Needles? That it's like being a governor of a state, every state has one.
Actually, you know, the name that I thought was the most common drag name when I used to, like, you know, pre-Drag Race, some of us used to get gigs in other cities. It wasn't quite as glamorous as now, but we would travel a little bit, get a, you know, a New York group would go to Toronto or mm-hmm. somewhere. Every town had a kitty or a kitten and a Coco.
Mm.
There were so many Cocos and kitties.
I think Coco is still a very popular name. Kitty, not so much.
And once in a while, you would meet a white Coco.
What's the name of the Wigstock Coco, though? The Coco that performs at Wigstock, though.
You mean Coco Peru?
Not Coco Peru, the other one.
There's another
the
Coco?
Who does the cocaine in her nose, like the powder and shit. And then
oh,
she does
Sugar Pie Coco.
Sugar Pie Coco. She was
That's
there.
Sugar Pie Coco. Yes, she was there. And,
was
and
she?
Coco, oh, it's Coco Lachine was there, too, who was a former empress. And she's Asian Coco, so they're not all black. Usually Cocos are black, but not always. There's Coco Lachine. It's kind of democratic. I know a Latin Coco named Coco Chanel, which is just copying her name, but that was her name. So, yeah, there's all,
there's a
you know.
Coco Chanel
here in Chicago, yeah.
Performs right up the street, yeah.
But have you ever met a white queen named Ebony?
No. I have not. Why is that?
Well, it would be an odd choice, but yeah, it happened.
Misunderstood. Were people more guarded? Like, were they worried about, you know, because it's, certainly Bianca Del Rio had been making jokes that got her into hot water in Montreal. There was a documentary film crew. We're not sure what the project was, but that's part of the reason why they did Wig Sock so quickly is because Neil Patrick Harris was developing a documentary based on
right,
drag.
Right.
We don't know,
right.
Undisclosed project. I think it's the reboot of Tu Wong Fu.
No, I think it's just a documentary of Wigstock, I think.
Another one? How many?
I don't know. I have very little. I heard he's about to do a tour in character as Hedwig with the band. Like, as the Hedwig band. But not the Hedwig show.
And not the musical.
Oh, like with new music?
I don't know. That's just all I heard was that it was like as if it was Hedwig and the Angry Inch was on tour, but not the show.
And so, do you feel like there was an air of self-consciousness for a lot of people? I mean, certainly
everybody
was, it was like old friends getting back together.
No, Bianca got up there and was filthy and Bunny got up there and was filthy. I will say though, that the segment I was in is based on the old TV show Laugh-In. And there was a segment where it's like a cocktail party and everyone go-go dances and then freezes and then tells a dumb joke. Mm-hmm. And Bunny does a solo in her act sometimes, but in Wigstock we do it as a group. And I respect that. So it has to be edited. You record a bunch of jokes. You don't know which ones will make the cut. I don't think any of my good ones did. So I don't mind retelling them now since they're not in the.
What was the original? What was the joke that made it, first of all? It was about shampoo.
Well, that did make it. Yeah,
what was the joke?
Oh, it's so dumb, but Bunny made me do it. I go, it's very laughing in a way because it's very 60s, like protest. I like, boycott shampoo, demand real poo.
Yay! For a shitty hairdo.
But this is what didn't make it. Okay,
these are the ones you wrote, or these what?
Well, some of them I recycled, and some I wrote. The one that I wrote, and I was really proud of, that didn't make it.
Hold on, let me add Lady Bunny's music to it.
Caitlyn Jenner has made medical history. It's the first time a plastic surgeon has put a pussy on an asshole.
Yay.
I was with a queen named Pissy Miles. She's a big girl up there.
She's a Philly queen, right?
She's a what?
Philly queen.
She's known in Philly, but she doesn't actually live there. She drives in from Jersey.
Oh, okay.
And I said, as we recorded it, hey, Pissy, it looks like you've put on a little weight. She says, tell me something I don't know. And I go, lettuce tastes nice. I really wanted that one. I was so disappointed. I'll have to tell it next year.
How does Clay Aiken take off a condom? He farts it out.
What else? What else didn't make it?
What else didn't make it?
Well, I told this one. It's very similar to the one you just told. I told this one as John Travolta and Neil Patrick Harris, in case I thought maybe he wants to be thrown in. I was like, John Travolta went in for a checkup, but the doctor asked for a semen sample, so he farted in the cup.
Yay! Now say
here's an old one that I tried to resurrect. Lady Bunny has the body of a 19-year-old wrapped in plastic in the trunk of her car.
Those are really good.
Yeah. I know. I didn't get my good ones. There was one more really good one. Wait a minute.
That was a little taste, an excerpt of our fabulous podcast, Wigstock Reborn, with Misunderstood.
Catch the whole thing at feastoffun.com/plus, because this Kiki is marvelous.
Marvelous and thirst-quenching.